Fear ye not. Don't fear. Work. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it's a little while, and I will shake the heavens and of the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Some of you read this at Christmas time. This is the promise of the coming Messiah, the one that everybody is looking for, but nobody knows what he looks like. And every human heart longs for the Savior. He's coming. Hold on. He's coming. Verse 7, I will shake all nations, the desire of all nations to come, and I will fill this new house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. How are we going to pay for this? I got it. Verse 9, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Why? Because Jesus is going to dwell there, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give, read that word to me, peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let me ask you, answer and ask a question this morning. Why can't I go all in? Why can't I go all in for the Lord? I want to help you with that this morning, give you practical wisdom from the Scripture, and call us to a point where we dedicate again ourselves to the Lord. Would you pray with me right now? Father, speak to every heart, front to back, left to right, side to side. Lord, all the folks, Lord, there have been dozens and dozens watching these services online. I pray for them. I pray they'd put up their housework. I pray they'd click off the TV. I pray with open hearts, open Bibles, they'd listen. For all those who watch this on a replay, I pray for them. For all those who listen to the audio recording we're making in the back, I pray for them. I pray that your word would go out with power and authority. I pray that I'd accurately describe the text. You would, as we unpack it, and you, the Holy Spirit of God, would speak to our hearts. Lord, we're not here passing time. We're not here because we don't have anything else to do on a Sunday. Father, we are here because you want to meet with us. You have something for us from the Scripture, and because you are calling us as a body of believers. You're calling us, Lord, to a higher calling and a higher purpose, and we want to be all in for you. I pray that you would speak to us. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I ask and pray. I pray that you'd help me preach your word accurately, powerfully. May I speak clearly, enunciate well, and may you draw people to yourself. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. And amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Give me just a hair more on the monitors there. I don't know what I'm doing. We do have bids. We're going to talk about it this afternoon. We do have stuff, and you hear it echoing and squealing up here, but we'll see if we can. We're going to get that all settled here. Come on. Yep. All right. Why can't I go all in for the Lord? If you'll put my notes up there, guys. Why can't I go all in for the Lord? I think it's a fair question. We talk about some things. We talk about all this stuff. We talk about being generous, and it's pretty funny. In my house, where I grew up, people would come with bags of vegetables out of their garden. Anybody have anybody come? They come with a shopping bag full of vegetables. Anybody here do that? Or somebody ring, knock on your door and say, "Hey, you know, we just had so many of whatever." And we rarely got tomatoes because I reckon everybody likes tomatoes, right? But we would get zucchini. Zucchini, and I think I'm the only one in my family eats zucchini. And we'd get zucchini and some cucumbers and things. And sometimes people would say, "Hey, we just had so much, and here you go." Every now and then we'd say, you know, they don't taste real good, but we had a lot of them, you know. And I appreciate you saying that. You didn't want to throw them away. You wanted us to throw them away. Amen. My favorite was somebody would come by. They'd been fishing. They caught like 150 brim or some smallmouth bass or something like that. And they would come like, "We were never going to eat all these fish." And I'd always want to, you know, it'd be on their boat, amen, and they would just give you, you know, a little cooler full, a little styrofoam cooler, and say, "We were just thinking of you," and I'm like, happy, because we're going to have fried cornbread, not baked, not with any sugar, fried cornbread with bits of onion in it, and we're going to have some cocktail sauce or tartar sauce or whatever, and I'll smell that. I didn't eat it at the time, but I did everything in ketchup. We're going to have some French fries, and we're going to have some fish, and a fish, not zucchini fish. I like that a little better. Well, we ordered all these. It was the same price for 20 books envelopes as it was for 40. So we had all this zucchini here, all these offering envelopes. So we've just been giving them to whoever. And I've been passing them out, and people have been going, "What are you trying to say?" I'm saying, "We got zucchini. And they're not going to do us any good in here. Are you telling me I don't give?" No, I'm not telling you anything. I don't know if you give or not. All I know is that we have all these books here, and we're going to give them out. We got all this zucchini, Fine, I'll take one. I'm like, why are you mad? We just had zucchini, and and we just giving them out. There's stacks of them in there. We had 20 left over. My children have some. The dog has some. I mean, everybody's got a book of envelopes, you know. And we're hysterical, right? Asking some people to commit, aren't we? Some people. I gave a book to Brother Glasby. He looked at me and said, "What are you trying to say, preacher?" I'm trying to say you better fill all of it out, and we're kind of nutty about that, right? Please ask for a commitment. We've got all those sign-up sheets in the back and all the different areas and teams that we have here. We want you, if you have an interest at all, man, sign up. We'll talk to you. We'll go over some things with you. But we've got so much you can do and so much. If Jesus tarries December 31st, we want to go further and farther than we've ever gone and been before. Some of you don't want to be in front of people and speak. That's fine, but you don't mind being an usher. Some of you, you love to smile at people and walk them to their where they need to be, and you want to be a greeter. Man, we can use you. We want to use you. By the way, you need to get plugged in. You need to do that. We've got starting our member care with our with our people and those folks on our volunteer staff, and they're going to make at least a visit or two a week, and they're going to be asking some of you to go with them just for an hour, just to spend some time, just to have a cup of coffee, just to go to somebody's house and hold their hand and pray with them. Why? Because as a body, as a ministry, as a bunch of members, a bunch of people together, we need to do this together. We need to take those steps. Because when we talk about going all in, our first response is all the excuses we have, right? I don't have enough of this. I don't know enough of that. I'm not real good here. It may just be that life's beat you slap down. And that's where we find ourselves this morning. We find ourselves here in this little letter. We call it a minor prophet, not because it's not important. We call it a minor prophet because it's small. If you'll put the mouse back on the notes there, I'll be able to use this. We call this a minor prophet here because it's a small length there. Because it's a small length. So why can't I go all in for the Lord? Why can't I go all in for the Lord? Just have to flip them for me, guys. Last week this was the spiritual side. This week is the emotional side. Last week I talked to you about Colossians there, and I need to let the word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. Richly in all wisdom. I said that you should let the word of God to be at home, to be at home. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It should be at home. That there shouldn't be any room that the Word of God doesn't have access to. Shouldn't be any room where the Word of God doesn't have access to. Secondly, I said the Word of God needs to be in charge of your life. Needs to be in charge of life. You're going to have to follow real close with me here. Needs to be in charge of your life. If you weren't here last week, you need to listen to the sermon, watch it. Needs to be in charge of life because it's going to change your life. The people who are in God's Word, listening God's Word, obeying God's Word, they're watching it change their life. They're watching it change their vocabulary, watching it change their mannerisms with their spouse or their husband. They're watching it change their children's reaction to them. You want to have a happy life and a happy wife and a happy husband and a happy home, you let God's Word be at home in your heart and your life. You let God's Word be in charge. You let God's Word start changing your life. Start changing your life. There's a third thing I said. If you do this, you're going to need time. You're going to need time. You're going to need time reading the Bible. You need time reading the Bible. We've got another little devotional guide we'll have for you about probably next week. We're going to give them out at the stewardship banquet. You need time. There needs to be a time, whether that's morning, if you're a second shifter, whether you're on call, whatever. There needs to be some time where you're eating your lunch break. Whatever it is, listening to the Bible, reading God's Word. There needs to be time. You never grow spiritually unless there's time in your life where you're reading and ingesting God's Word. You need to have time listening to the Bible. You need to have time listening to the Bible. You just listen to what God's trying to say to you. Not just rushed and hurried, but listening to what God is saying to you. You need to have time learning the Bible, time listening to the Bible. We have classes. We're having all these things on Sunday night and all Sunday night. We're doing all this stuff with these groups and things. We want you to have time listening to it being taught. If you only eat one meal a week, if you only come one time a week to church, you stay spiritually starving. Nod your head if you understand that. You need to have time listening to God's Word being taught and being interacting with us. You need to have time obeying the Bible. You need to have time obeying the Bible. And that's what we've got those sheets out in the back for. That's what we've got these opportunities for. Some of these you don't have to be a member for. You can just serve. We want you to do that. We've got our class coming up, or we're inviting people to come. What does it mean to be a new member? Brother Claunch really encouraged me about this. I don't know where he stepped off to. Where's Brother Claunch at? And he encouraged me about that. I want to encourage you about this. So it brings us to our sermon today. You need to have time obeying the Bible. Time obeying the Bible. See, the problem that they had was fear and disappointment. Fear and disappointment. They had problem. See, fear and disappointment was keeping them from giving their all to God, from giving their all to God. See, what do you mean? Look in the text there, if you would, just for a second. Fear and disappointment. He says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Verse number 3. Go back up to verse 1, verse number 2. Unto the residue of the people. They'd been in prison for a long time. They'd been enslaved. They'd given all their goods to another. They've been treated poorly. It's been unbelievable how badly they've been treated. How badly they've been treated. I got about half of you asleep. How many of you are just crazy hot in here? Crazy hot. Several of you. How many of you are too asleep to raise your hand? Yeah, a few of you here. We can cut on some. Don't need to cut on the air. Just make sure all those fans are going back there. So they have fear. They had fear, and then they were disappointed. Disappointed. Kenneth, can you handle that for me, please? They were fearful, and they were disappointed. Why? Because it had not been a good time for them. It had not been a good opportunity for them. It had not been a good scene for them. See, what do you mean? Look at verse number 1 there. Look at verse number 1. Or number 1 in your notes there. Fear and disappointment kept them paralyzed in the past. Fear and disappointment kept them paralyzed in the past. Who is left among you? Who among you remembers? Who among you remembers? See, what do you mean? They were stuck in the past. We're stuck in the past. Quit messing with that. How do I know I'm stuck in the past here? Everybody stay back with me. My preacher's distracted here. Sorry. Look right up here. How many of you understand being distracted in the past? Look at your notes. Let me give you 4 or 5 of these. I got to hurry here. Number one, how do I know I'm stuck in the past? Number one, you have an unhealthy memory of how much better it really was. You have an unhealthy memory how much better it was. If you're taking notes in the back, please go ahead and write these notes down there. So, you want to take your notes? That's a leaky bucket, brother. How many of you believe Brother Glaspie's a leaky bucket? Don't raise your hands. It's an unhealthy memory of how better things were, really were. Well, I remember this. I remember that. I remember we used to do all these things. I'm all for that. I think we ought to rejoice in the past. But some folks, man, they're just stuck there. 10 years of doing some counseling for churches, probably more like 15 to 18. I've done counseling pastors in different groups and all. One of the number one things is whenever something comes up, people object to it and they hold on to the past. Well, Pastor so-and-so did it like this, and Pastor so-and-so did it like this, and this and that. And man, it's wonderful you got good memories and all, but that is really the past. I'm not objecting to that, but the past doesn't have any influence on the future. Now, it can chain you there. Every now and then, I'll talk about people having their names on pews and stuff like that. And man, you just see people go crazy and nutty about that. I've told the story here about we were having a big day and friend day, and we had the biggest crowd they'd ever had. And man, it was good. I was the interim pastor. It was my last Sunday making a good handoff and all. We were having a 10:30 service. We had a lady got there at 9 o'clock and sat on the third row by herself because she knew there was a big crowd coming and she wanted her pew because her family had bought and paid for it. She brought nobody. She sat there with her arms crossed. She didn't speak to anybody. She sat there and grumpy as all get out, and I was so mad I wanted to change my sermon to why the woman on the third row is a dirty, rotten sinner. But I decided against it at the last moment. Man, she missed everything. Why? Because she had an unhealthy fixation. Remember how much better the past. Number two, you can be paralyzed in the past when you have unrealistic expectations of new folks. You have unrealistic expectations of new folks. It's January and February, so everybody's going to the gym. Everybody's getting healthy. I was in the gym the other day. I thought it was a stunt. I really did. I promise. I thought it was a stunt. I was looking for somebody with a video camera. It was a guy with a four-prong, what do you call it, a cane. And he put his cane beside of the treadmill and got on it. He's stooped. He's like this, stooped. And he's doing the treadmill. I'm thinking, that's not right. And then I see a lady, and she's got the grocery cart kind of mobile. She's got the thing in front of her. She's got a floppy hat, and she's got something else. She's got a little Judith Krantz novel. And she's doing like this, and she's going over toward the free weights. And they finally turn her around and put her on a bicycle or something. I don't know how they got her up there. But, you know, I'm over there with my 10-pound barbell feeling real good about myself. And here's this woman who I think had to have assistance to get in the building. I don't know where the liability came in, letting somebody who's fairly crippled, you know, get on a machine. But anyway, and I really was. I thought I was looking at actors and an actress. And so I went and asked them. They said, oh, no, they joined last week. They come in, take some 20 minutes to get in. They do about 10 minutes exercise, and it takes about 30 minutes to get out. Everybody loves them. And I went, well, I felt really bad, you know, because I'm, you know, I got, you know, 80 years on them. They're in here, you know, kind of exercising and all this kind of stuff. And they said, yeah, they don't feel like they belong. They're worried about, you know, what everybody thinks and all this kind of stuff. I said, no. I said, but we tell them, do whatever you want. Just come on in. Now, let me help you. Bible talks about milk, and Bible talks about meat. And there's some folks that are still eating milk, and you need to be chewing on a steak. You need to get off of where you are. You need to quit having to be the ones that everybody's taking care of. You need to start taking care of some other folks. But there's some other folks, man, you need to have some milk. We need to always have a process and a system here. But I'm not mad at you if you hadn't come to Jesus yet. I'm not mad at you if you're just still getting used to reading the Bible. But I want you to do that. But there's some other folks, man, you've been on milk way too long. And you need to step up your game. You need to jump in. There's a third thing here. You're unapproachable. You're unapproachable about letting other people in. Church I pastored, God gave us a lot of growth. We had 15 months where we had a first-time guest every Sunday. God was just really at work. It was a neat place and a neat town. But some of the older folks, man, they were not going to let people in. They couldn't serve, couldn't do anything. They didn't want them to usher. They said, you can't trust them. Can't trust them. I'm like, they're here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. They serve. They bring folks. They give. They do all these things. Yeah, you can't trust them. Well, it's being unapproachable. I know we're this close to Oak Ridge. I know Secret City's over there. I know that mentality. Let me help you with something here. We need to be open. What God brings to us, man, to do something with, and that is a spirit that should characterize a church. There's number four. They don't have any hope. They're unwilling to hope. Number four, they're unwilling to hope. It's always going to be this way. It's always going to be us. It's always going to be like this. They're unwilling to hope. You can be paralyzed in the past, and that's where they were. How do you see it now? How do you see the temple now? Well, I just remember how it used to be. I don't know. God's got something He wants to do, and fear and disappointment was keeping them from giving their all. Number two, it prevented them from working. Fear and disappointment prevented them from working. Verse number four, be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of land, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, literally the God of strength or the God of mightiness, sometimes translated the God of war. I am with you. I am in your corner. Buy whatever you want. I'll cover the tab. Do whatever you want. I've got you. The work. 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 Get involved. Work. Why should we be all in? Because God tells us to. But fear and disappointment. If I've disappointed you, I'm sorry. And if I have, I'll make it right. I will break my head to make it right with you. How many of you believe that preacher would do that? But some folks have been disappointed by other pastors, other people. You've been disappointed by other churchmen. I'm so sorry, and if there's anything I could do to fix that, I promise you I would. But you've not been disappointed with God. God's never let you down. God has never, ever, ever not kept His promise to you. You need to jump in and work. Why? Because He tells us to. Some folks say, man, it's groceries. I can't serve God because I don't have enough groceries. I don't have this. I don't have that. It's my kids. It's my retirement. People made past commitments they didn't keep. All this kind of jazz here. 24 years, 25 years next month, all this stuff, man, I can't do for God. And they throw out all these excuses, and God says, I am the Lord of hosts. I am with you. So people made commitments in the past they didn't keep. Well, sure. Sure. There have been people in 2.5 years said, I'm going to do this, and then they were gone. I got it. I'm disappointed in them, but I'm not disappointed in him. God's at work. God's at work. Say, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Some folks, man, they read TV and they're happy. They watch TV and they're happy to read the paper. Some folks watch the TV and they're stockpiling, you know, beans and rice because they figure Armageddon's coming and all this kind of stuff. You know, it's been like this since the world began. It'll be like this till Jesus comes back. But I'm not worried God won't keep his promises. I got a daughter going off school, got another one in school, got all kind of stuff going on. Andrea feels like she ought to eat once every couple of days and all. I feel the pressure just like everybody in here, wondering what's going on, what's next and all. But God will keep his promise. He said he'd never leave us, never forsake it, that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against his church. God will do what he said. You needn't fear and be disappointed because God will handle it. God will handle it. Somebody says, well, why work? Nobody else is. Nobody else is working. Nobody else is doing stuff. Nobody else is picking up stuff. Nobody else is doing any of this kind of stuff. Nobody else does anything. Well, that's one of the reasons we're doing the member care. One of the reasons Ron and Glenda go out, they've got a list of about 15 names of people they're going to try and go with them. John and Kathy go out. If they're on this side of town, they're going to try and grab somebody and go with it. Because we want to put our arm around and say, hey, man, you're important. You're valuable. We want you to come. We want you to do this. We want you to understand this. Brother Glaspies, he's been going. I've been calling the teenage boys here. Been trying to go by and see him. He wants you to go with him. Why? Because man, serving the Lord can be joyful and can be fun. It can be a lot of things. And we want you to do this. Some of you, he's come to your door or whatever, and you're like, he's not after you for anything. He's just saying hello, learning where you live. Let me turn that around. If nobody else is going to work for God, I am. Because God is worth my work. He's worth my worship. Can I get an amen from anybody? And if everybody's working for God, that doesn't matter either. Because I'm going to work for God because he's worthy of my work and he's worthy of my worship. When you look around, you go, nobody else is doing it. Number one, that's just not true. That's not true. Yesterday, one of our dear ladies walked up a crooked pathway, up a set of steps, carried a hot meal to a disappointed, grieving family. New hip, new ankle. It's a difficult place to get in and out of. And did it. Nobody else is working. Baloney. Nobody else cares. Baloney. Well, if I had more money, I'd have had this. No. Baloney. We do what we want to do. We do it when we want to do it. And we're not working for God's because we choose not to. And that's just a rabid excuse here. Why I don't work? Nobody else is. That's just number one. It's not true. Number two, it doesn't really matter. Why give? Nobody else gives. Again, not true. Not true. You don't know what everybody does. Number one, you're responsible for you. You take that envelope, put your check in, put your cash in. You give monthly, you give every other week, however you get paid. Why give? Nobody else is giving. Again, I'm going to answer to God for what he's given to me. I'm going to be all in here. Be all in here. Famously, John Maxwell, when he took over the Skyline Wesleyan Church out in, not in Low Park, the name of it escapes me now. But anyway, there in California, large church, 20-some people on the board. When he came, he said, I'll come for two or three reasons, two or three conditions. One, everybody that was on that board, he wanted their total giving records. He said, two, he says, we're going to follow my lead. And then third, he said, I'm unashamedly going to be for growth. They said, fine. So they got in there. The church was having all kind of financial problems. They started talking about things. Maxwell said he stood up. He said, he looked around the room. He said, yeah. He said, the reason we're having financial problems, Bob, he says, is because last year, even though you own two businesses and you live in a $500,000 house, says you apparently only made $200 because all you gave last year was $20 to the Lord. His buddy stood up and said, how dare you? He said, yeah. And that's another thing. According to you, you've got a house at the beach and you've got a house on the mountain. He said, and you drive brand new cars and you didn't make a cent last year because that's exactly what you gave to God is zero. He said, the problem on our church is that the leadership is corrupt and we're blaming it on all the people. He said, when the problem is that our folks don't lead with integrity. And why in the world should they give when they know that you don't give? He said they got up and they left. And he said they left. He said, and everybody was talking. He said he sat back down with tears in his eyes and said, okay, fellas, we can go forward now. We've cut the cancer out of the church. Say, that's strong. I think it's Bible. How dare you be hypocritical about the things of God? How dare you put on like something's different than it is? And how dare you boss around other people and act like you're Lord over them when you don't have the integrity to follow God's commands yourself? Can I get an amen from anybody? Amen. Why give? Nobody else is. Not true. Not true. Why put myself out? There's other people to serve. And they're just all sitting on their hands. They won't even come to Sunday school. They won't even come to Sunday night service. Why put myself out? Again, I'm not responsible for them. Amen? I'm responsible for me. I don't make enough. I don't know enough. I live too far. I live too close. Nobody speaks to me. I got too much baggage, too much ball, too much ballet, too much homework, etc. No, listen to me. You can be fearful, you can be disappointed, you can give all anything that's out there, but I want to encourage you to look strongly at the Lord Jesus Christ and be all in. Number three, fear and disappointment. Said that God was not with him. Look at verse 5 and 6. I'm just about done. Verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. Verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once, a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. God reminded them, I was with you coming out of Egypt. I was with you when Pharaoh's army went after you. I've been with you the whole time. Why are you worried? See, fear and disappointment. Fear and disappointment. Fear and disappointment would just wrap its tentacles around you. And they say, well, God did it before, and God let this church be built, and God fixed this, and God did this, but he's not going to do it again. He doesn't care about little people like me. He doesn't care about little churches like us. And God won't do it again. And I want to say again, that's just not true. That's a lie of the devil. And fear, the emotion, disappointment, the emotion, will strangle that out of you. See, God won't do it again. See, why you get out of bed and keep punching, preacher? Because I believe God is at work. He's flat at work. He is at work in people's hearts and people's lives. He is ministering to people. We trimmed our list yesterday or Friday. We worked through it now, and all the people are vacation. All the people who said, hey, we don't really care, quit bothering us, and we've left them alone. We're tracking 183 people. We got all kind of people. Look right up here, everybody that's messing around right now. We got people, man, who in the last 7 months have been through the door. 183 different people. 183 different people. Some are watching on live stream because they can't come. Others just goofing off today. I got it. There are 183 people. If we had half of those people, excuse me, it'd be 91 and a half. Somebody would be very uncomfortable. If we had three-fourths of those people, we'd have every chair in here full, plus all the back chairs, and we'd have to have somebody in the parking lot trying to navigate parking. We don't need much. Many more to be all in, and everything's different around here. We have all those opportunities in the back. You're not committing. You're just saying, I'm interested. We have all those opportunities. We have all these things we're doing on Sunday nights. We're getting in some smaller groups, and we're having these electives. Why? Because God is at work. He says, why should I choose obedience? Why should I choose hope? Can you take these three things home with you? Why should I choose obedience and hope over fear and disappointment? Good question. Number one, remember, God's coming. God is coming. God is coming. God is coming. Verse 7, I will shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come. Let me help you with something. Haggai says the Savior's coming. It's 120 more years and then there'll be nothing. There'll be no word from God for 400 years. 400 years and God will move. He will move with Zacharias. He will move with Zacharias' son, John the Baptist. He'll be the forerunner of the Lord. But for 400 years, you won't hear a peep from God officially. But the desire of all nations is coming. He came. Jesus came and changed the world. We just celebrated at Christmas. He came and saved. He was the Savior for all men from their sins. Let me help you. He's coming again. The same way that he came before in humility will not be the way he comes the second time. When he comes the second time, he'll come in glory and majesty and rapture us from this world, and we'll be with him forever and ever. He is coming. And in between time, he's at work. His Spirit is at work. Jesus is coming. He says, Jesus is coming. Number two, he's coming to be glorified. He's coming to be glorified. We have a small parade going on in the hall back there. He is coming to be glorified. He's coming to be glorified. And I will shake all nations. The desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And I will fill this house with glory. See, the glory of the new temple be greater. Now, how is that going to be the case? Solomon's temple, the Old Testament temple, the new temple, there's no comparison, no comparison. Well, sure there is. One's going to have Jesus in it. One's going to have Jesus in it. One's going to have the Savior walk in those halls. One's going to have the Savior who's going to bleed and die for their sin. One's going to have the Savior, and then he's going to set out, and he's going to do what? He's going to say that we are the temple of God. And our bodies are the temple. Why should you take care of your body? Why should you worry what you do with your body? Why should you worry about this and that? Why should you be? Because God says that in you is now the temple of the Spirit of God. And a changed life, and a life that gives him glory, beats any building any day of the week and twice on Sunday. He says, I'm coming to be glorified. Let me help you. The best is yet to come. Say that if you're still awake this morning. The best is yet to come. Look at number three. If you're taking notes, write this down. God is enough, and God has enough. God is enough, and God has enough. Verse number 8. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. It's enough. It's enough. The Woods, they were here Sunday. They still back and forth to Virginia. We were having dinner before Christmas. He laughed. He said, he teaches at King, and he set up their master's of business program, and he does all this stuff. And he says, I hardly ever use electronic means of currency. He just doesn't. He takes his check to the light company, then he goes next door into town, and he pays his mortgage and car payment or whatever. He says, I walk my bills most of the places. He says, I know I'm out of time. I'm an anachronism. He laughed. He said, I like it. I like it. I laughed. One time I thought I was making big bucks in Wachovia, had my car loan. And right beside of it, I forget what it would have been, but anyway, is where I banked. And I'd go take my paycheck in, and they would give me the cash for my car loan. Seemed like it was $200. And I'd walk literally across the parking lot, and I would I'd pay my car payment. And I had all these receipts. You know, banks give you all this paper. And I had this paper, and Books a Million had opened in the other adjacent parking lot, and they had a coffee place. And you could go in, you could get coffee with that foam in it. Days ago. I'm from a town of 1,000 folks. Small town. I'd never seen coffee like that except on TV. And I just got paid. And I'd walk in there with $10. And I'd pay, and they'd give me $6 back. And I was a big wheel, and I'd slide them a buck. And I'd sit down with my $4 cup of coffee with the steam in it. And it was so strong, I didn't really like it because I couldn't see after I drank it. You know, the caffeine about blew my head off. But I was cool. I was in a bookstore with a coffee shop, and I'm from Princeton, North Carolina, and I've paid this bill and paid that bill. And, of course, I was working two jobs and on my way to grad school in a few months, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, this is fun. Man, this is living. If you told me then that people would drink some of that $4 coffee 2, 3, 4 times a day, every day, all the time, I'd laugh at you. But it is the case. What I thought was a lot of money at 21, 22. I don't know what a lot of money is to you. I don't know what a lot of need is to you. Look right here. The thought of giving God the first 10% of what you make may scare you or startle you or thrill you. I've got some great news for you, though. God is enough. God has enough. God will back your play. If you'll be obedient to Him, He said He would do what? He would open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing so that you can't contain it. Now let me help you. If you're foolish and frivolous with your money, God's under no obligation to bail you out of every jam. I'm talking about wise stewardship. I'm talking about compassionate giving. I'm talking about raising children to love God, not love stuff. I'm talking about that kind of a view of stewardship and not of ownership. God says, but don't worry about it. I can back your play. The silver's mine. The gold is mine. I have enough. God is enough. God can handle your finances. God can dazzle you with what He wants to do for His glory. God asks you to work. God asks you to trust. God asks you to be all in. All in. All in. All in. Pray with me. Our heads are bowed. Musicians getting into place. They'll start playing whenever they're ready. God, I can trust you. I'm telling you, it was dark time. 4 messages Haggai delivers. This is the second one. One, He blows them out for disobedience. This is the second one. He's encouraging them. That's what I've tried to do to you today. Say, my circumstances are not optimal. If you wait for everything to get just right in your life, you'll never serve God like you want to. Say, if I serve God, it's going to disrupt the perfect life that I have. Again, you're just tempting the Lord to get your attention. You don't want to do that either. I will serve Him. I want to be all in. I want to give my best. I want to trust Him. I want to take those steps. And so many of you have. So many of you first-time givers or first-time workers or first-time volunteers, and we're so thrilled. Some of you are nervous. You started and stopped, and you're kind of iffy about something. I just want to tell you, God is enough. He has enough. God wants to do so many neat things in your heart and your life. He wants to show Himself so strong and mighty to you. You ask some of these who've been doing this a while, and they'll tell you they never would have dreamed how good God would be and how much He would bless them. And I want to encourage you this morning. That's your occasion, that today you just go all in for Him. All in. You're here today and you've never asked Christ to save you from your sins. If you die where you are and die like you are, you believe you'd spend an eternity in an awful place called hell and not go to be with the Savior. And today is your opportunity. Today is your day to say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I deserve all of hell's punishment, but I want you to be my Savior and I want you to forgive me of my sins and I accept your free offer of salvation. Change my life. Be my Lord. And God says that He would. He's faithful and just to keep His promise to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to change your life. You say, I'm here today, Pastor, and God's speaking to my heart this morning about next steps of dedication or maybe keeping my commitment, whatever it is. But God's speaking to my heart this morning. Would you just pray for me right now? Nobody's looking around. Would you pray for me? Thank you, thank you, thank you. A lot of hands. God's speaking to my heart. He's encouraging me. He's chastising me. He's nudging me about my dedication to Him. Would you pray for me? Anybody else this morning? Anybody else this morning? Thank you. A lot of hands. Anybody else? If God's really speaking your heart this morning, we give you this opportunity to come and respond. And you can come and kneel, come sit on these front pews here, and we just want to pray with you. We'll be glad to talk to you after service. Whatever God's dealing with your heart about, I invite you to step out and to come. Step out and come. Stand with me if you would. Our heads are bowed. Father, speak to us right now as we all stand. Speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to hear, honor, and obey the word. I pray in Jesus' precious name. As we pray, as we stand with our heads bowed, and making things easy for people, I invite you to step out and to come as we begin to sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Sing if you know the song. Respond to God as He's leading your heart.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
God's speaking to your heart this morning.
Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Our heads are bowed. Father, help us to not be led by fear, not be led by disappointment. Be led by obedience and hope. Hope in the Spirit's work, the finished work of Calvary, the changing power of the Scripture. And the very real hope that you are enough and you have enough. And if we'll be interested in what you're interested in, you'll take great care of us. We love you and we thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And amen. Please be seated just for a moment. As we leave today, to all our ladies, it is Valentine's weekend. And for all of you single folks, I know it's Singleness Awareness Day. I got that. And as you leave today, Mr. Riley, if you'll help us out there, there's a basket of the good candy, the Dove candy. Did we get good candy, the Dove stuff, the Dove? Nope. And if we have enough, men, you can have some too. We love you too, but we want to make sure the ladies get some. And we didn't know what you were, if you like flowers, but we figured chocolate is a universal currency. Amen? And so we've got some of that, and you're welcome to do that. Grab some of that as you leave today. We have several things on the back. You saw the balloons as you came in. And we want to encourage you, go by there and put your name on some of that. Put your name. If you're already serving and we didn't put your name in there for whatever reason, you can put it back on there. But we want to encourage you to do that. Everybody can do something. Some things would require a little more of, but a lot of you could join and serve. Don't think you don't have anything to offer. You probably have more than you thought, and we'll train you in some areas. But want you to do that. Go back there. We're going to leave these up for the next few weeks, and fill those out. If you're one of our men who are interested in going to our men's retreat, some have asked about just going and coming. You got to work on Saturday. We can work with you on that, and we've got a hotel that'll add probably about $10-$12 to it. If you want to stay. If you've already signed up, write the word hotel if you want a hotel on there. If you want to, and we'll make all that happen. That's coming up real soon. That's for teenagers too, and so we want you to make sure that you sign up for that wonderful occasion coming up. And then, if you are interested in either of these two electives or three electives, we need you to sign up the uninvited book, the resolution for men, the courageous study, and then financial peace. Sign up. We'll get that material ordered. Don't need any money now, but go ahead and sign up for one of those. And you can certainly invite people to be here and come with you.